The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel text became very controversial during the Reformation, way back in the 16th century, since it emphasizes the primacy of Peter as Pope. So let me look at this for a few moments and wonder about the teaching. First of all, maybe the background and the little theology and then the teaching. The background, it happens at Caesarea Philippi. Today it's called Banias. Caesarea Philippi was named after the son of Herod the Great. That's the Herod that threatened the life of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. His son, Philip, it was named after Caesarea Philippi, after him. Before that, it was called Panias, named after the god Pan. And today, it's a very beautiful park area, place where families go, wonderful, delightful, scenic place, on the foothills of Mount Hermon, right up on the Lebanese border, about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. Mostly pilgrims, we don't go there because it's a little out of the way. We go to Nazareth and Cana and the sea and all that. But to get up to Banias, but it's a scenic place, absolutely beautiful. It's on the edge of the Golan Heights, which became part of occupied territory by Israel in 1967 war. It was named Banias after the god Pan, a Greek god Pan. If you go there today, there's a cave of the Greek god Pan, and there are insignia, rock formations of Mount Hermon, at the bottom of Mount Hermon, indicating it belonged to Pan, the Greek god Pan. That's important because when Jesus says, "You are Peter, and on this rock, not the other rocks, on this rock I will build my church." That's a little background. Could talk a lot about the beauty of the area and so forth, but the theology of it is, rather interestingly, the word Peter, which is Petros in Greek, there is no mention of anybody named Peter before Jesus, before the Christian era. It was not a name for anybody. So it means rock. Petros means rock. And watch how Jesus speaks to, he says, "Simon, the ordinary man, Simon, on this rock I will build my church." The word rock is very important because Peter is a name that we're familiar with, but in the time of Jesus, the notion of being the rock was very important. And yet he selects the humanity of Jesus, of Peter. Look back in chapter 5 in the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find the call of Peter. And there's a miraculous catch of fish, and Peter is so overwhelmed, he falls down before Jesus, and he says, "Leave me, for I am a sinner." And Jesus calls him as a sinner. He calls him in his humanity. Now, will that humanity endure? Yes, he will deny Jesus. And if you read on St. Paul dealing with Peter, this is after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and so forth. But in the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to Galatians, clearly Peter makes a major, major mistake. It's after the Council of Jerusalem, and there's a whole controversy in the early church. And Peter, the Pope, inspired by the Holy Spirit, blessed by God, anointed by Jesus, but he gets in a huge conflict with Paul. Read the second chapter of Galatians. And Paul said, "I faced him down publicly, reprimanded the first pope publicly," says Paul. Paul the apostle, the saint. So you can see the humanity. No wonder then that when Pope Francis was elected Pope, the first interview he had, and the person interviewing him said, "Now, how would you describe Jorge Bergoglio, the Pope?" And the Holy Father paused for a few moments and he said, "I am a sinner." He was remembering Peter's call in chapter 5 in Luke, where Peter, and he's remembering this from the Gospel of Matthew. He's called in his humanity. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn that it's Jesus who builds the church. He said, "I will build my church. On this rock, I will build the church." But the church is not built by human hands. The church, the authentic church, is built by Jesus Christ. And it's built on humanity. Therefore, people might differ with the Pope. They might not agree with the Pope. They may not admire the Pope. But that happens. That happens in the humanity of the church. We have to reverence the Pope. He's given the power of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which is a sign of his authority. The authority of the Pope is unquestioned. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatever you bind and whatever you loose." But is the Pope human? Listen to this. It's Simon, son of John. It's the human one. "On this one, I will build my church." So keep in mind that the church will endure, not because of clerics or leadership or so forth. The church will endure because the church is built by Jesus Christ and is sustained by the Holy Spirit. That's why the church endures. And look back in the history of the church, you find every kind of scandal attached to the papacy, and yet the church endures, not because of any human intervention, but because Jesus built the church on the rock. That's a good thing to keep in mind, because sometimes we can get discouraged about things we see in the church. But once you renew your faith, you say, "I am here in the power of Jesus Christ." The church is the witness of Jesus Christ in a human way, in a broken way, in a struggling way, even in a sinful way. But still, the church is sinful, it's broken, it's human. But Jesus is in the church and Jesus builds the church. That's very important to keep in mind. If we lose that, we'll begin to look on the church as a human institution, and we can get very discouraged when we find the humanity, the sinfulness and the brokenness in the church. So you want to keep that in mind. There's a rather insightful reference in the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel, where Jesus speaks to Peter, and he says, "Simon," doesn't call him Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to take you and sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and after you have repented, then you will strengthen your brethren." So Peter, you will fail and you will repent, and then you will strengthen your brethren. The church will fail, the church will repent, and then we'll see the glory of God and the power of Jesus Christ. It's very important to keep that in mind, because sometimes we exalt the church. We say the mother church, the perfect church, it's unreal. Jesus founded a very imperfect church, but Jesus founded it, and it endures because of the power of Jesus Christ. We pause now for a moment of prayer.